Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer, one of the founders from the Community Roundtable, and we're excited today to be recording another session. Shannon, my colleague, is going to kick us off.
Hi, Jim. We are very, very excited to have a new guest with us today. We are joined by Susan Cato. Susan, I would love if you could tell us a little bit about where you work and the kind of community you work with.
Okay. I'm with the American Society of Plant Biologists. We are a scientific professional society, been around for a very long time. Our community is Plantae, and really the organization's mission and Plantae are one and the same. So we are here to serve the global community of plant scientists.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the community and what platform you host it on, and just give listeners a sense of the kind of community it is?
Sure. Let me just start by saying the strategy behind Plantae is a little bit different from what you're going to find in most associations or professional societies. A lot of them use communities as a kind of pay-to-play equation, but we do not do that. We open our community to plant biologists from all around the world. So while we are a membership society and people pay to be members of our society, we very consciously chose to have an online community that would be the place where the global, the whole population of plant scientists could come together, meet and connect and do all sorts of things. So it's a little bit different, and it was a little controversial with our board when we went to go launch this and invest a considerable amount of time and dollars in making it happen. Currently, we are on Breezio platform, and we launched on the Breezio platform in June of 2017. However, we actually launched the original version of the community in late 2015, and it was a very rocky start. We were on another platform. And we decided that what that platform was offering us was not in line with what the community was asking for. So we made a very difficult decision to switch. And, you know, being just a little over a year in, that was a tough thing. I think that pretty much rounds out generally Plantae, the community. Did you have any other questions about that specifically?
Well, I'm always fascinated to hear about organizations that migrate from one platform to another. So I guess I'm wondering, do you have any best practices, painful stories, anything that you can share that might help community practitioners when and if they get stuck in that same situation?
Yeah. After being on our previous platform for, like I said, a little over a year, we did realize after spending time with community members, after organizing a more involved group of community members, that the previous platform wasn't working for us. And, you know, while we wanted to stick with that platform because we had invested so much time and a considerable amount of money in it, we realized that it wasn't really delivering the value or the right context to the community. And in the end, the driver for that decision was really all about being able to provide a really meaningful and engaging experience for the members. And we weren't able to do that on the previous platform. So, you know, we did take our time and think through that switch. But in the end, it was very, very clear that the most important thing that we could do was provide a meaningful and engaging experience for the community members. And it just wasn't working on the old platform. So it was, in the end, it was the smartest decision we've made.
So this is kind of a follow-up to that. You were talking about creating a meaningful experience for your members, and the number one thing we get questions about is engagement, and whether that's how do you get people involved in the beginning or how do you keep people staying involved? How do you get your members involved and keep them coming back?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, honestly. I've been in the association community for a very long time, and I have lots of colleagues who have launched online communities in fits and starts. And you hear many, many, many stories from them about how, oh, we launched this community with this great platform and nothing ever happened, so we shut it down. And you could have the best technology in the world, but if you're not, again, if you're not providing something meaningful and a meaningful experience is really what it is, then it's not going to work. I'm starting to get really tired of the word engagement, but it's the only word we have right now. So I'm trying to use the word experience a lot because I feel like it really represents what we're trying to do here. And for us, creating experiences for community members really comes from the amount of time we are actually spending in the community with the members. So we have a small team and we spend a lot of time doing outreach, calling people we've met at in-person events or reaching out to someone who another community member has suggested to us, people who are motivated and have ideas on kind of what they would like to launch or what they're trying to do with a certain initiative or a project, and making those connections around how we can make that happen online. And it gets really, really specific. But the most important thing that you could possibly do is to spend as much time as possible with your champions or your motivated community members and make connections between the challenges or the ideas they have and how you can make that happen on the platform. So we've done that in several ways in our new platform, and plug for Breezio alert. Breezio does an amazing job of creating sort of this live, vibrant experience, and they're very forward thinking as a company. So we feel like we've found the right partner to make these things happen. So we have a class, for instance, online, and we're using the Breezio platform. And essentially it's a learning module in the community platform. But the outcome of this class, some of which are writing assignments or videos, and these are all part of their activities, are actually becoming content in the community for other members. So we're really starting to dig in and come up with ideas. Okay, you have a class. You know, here's the assignments. Those assignments include interviewing other plant biologists. You can do it via video, audio, or in written format. And that content, if it passes muster, then it gets represented and presented to the rest of the online community. So now we have profiles of plant scientists being written out of a class experience in a learning module that's being facilitated through our community platform. So that's just one example, and we have several examples that are similar of things like that that are happening that really provide both a rich experience and rich content and visibility for the individuals participating. And as that happens, the momentum continues to gain. Those folks are then real loyal members, and the word of mouth is really starting to pick up because their experience has been that rich. So that's just one way we're doing it.
That's really interesting. And I want to go back a little bit to the beginning of that segment where you talked about engagement versus experience. I love that concept of kind of shifting toward experience. And when you started the chat about that and you said, you know, you're calling people up that you meet at events, you know, I like to say that the telephone is the secret weapon of a community manager. They tend to kind of hide behind the keyboard when if they get out there and they surprise their members with a quick phone call to thank them for something or ask them for something, it tends to kind of push that trust forward. So I love that you're doing that. And I'd love to hear, you know, if you've got, you know, more to share about how you're thinking about experience versus engagement.
Yep, absolutely. So another thing that we're doing is we have launched something called a fellows program, a familiar term in the science community, of course. And this is a program where community members can apply and they are vetted and they have to fill out an application and talk about, you know, why plant science is so important to them and why they would want to be a Plantae fellow. And once accepted into the program, essentially, they become a team of advocates for Plantae, the community itself. And there are different tasks and responsibilities they can sign up for. And in order to successfully complete the program, they have to complete a certain number of these tasks. Okay, so that includes doing assisting our editor with a weekly roundup of plant science news, or writing summaries of research articles for publishing on Plante, or interviewing folks, you know, as far as like profiles of plant scientists, similar to the other thing I just described. They are also helping us with input on ideas and topics and connecting us with people they know for our Plante seminar series, which we have a whole series of online workshops and seminars as well. So these fellows then also become very engaged, and it's a group of advocates or champions as well, who are continuously posting content, commenting on other people's activities, sharing, creating live events on the platform, which is something you can do on Breezio. And also we have regular calls, again, secret weapon, phone, well, not an actual one, could be a headset, where we actually check in and have conversations with the group of fellows about their experience, what could be improved, other ideas of ways we can engage and support the community. So it's really not about us. It's about, oh, you know, I spoke to, you know, a fellow grad student the other day, and they said they wanted to start a journal club, and I suggested that maybe they use the Plante platform, that kind of thing. So it's very vibrant. It's very grassroots. And again, it's an experience, because in the end, communities, strong and vibrant communities, are about relationships, and it's about nurturing relationships. And we're doing that in a lot of meaningful ways, both through, again, in-person activities, content, providing opportunities for the community, raising, kind of getting them more visible within the community, and helping people make connections with each other. And again, that rounds out the experience. Once I feel like I'm doing that, then, you know, I'm going to come back.
Amen. You're definitely preaching to the choir here, but that's excellent insight. You know, you talk about some of the success. Have you ever had a crisis in your community that you had to deal with? And if you did, how did you take care of that?
I think, again, because the biggest crisis for us was the fact that we had launched, it's kind of like a false start, okay? We launched the original version of Plante. And I know this probably isn't the type of crisis you were probably wanting to hear about, but this was a crisis for us, because we launched the original Plante community, and it just was frustrating the users. And for us, that was a crisis, because again, quickly people start talking about, oh, it's terrible. Oh, we can't do this. Or, oh, I had issues doing that. And the crisis for us really was just worrying about losing the community, or you know, losing faith from the community. But we were able, it took some work when we switched to turn it around, but we have definitely overcome that. And again, it's only been since June 2017. So, you know, we'll keep our fingers crossed that there isn't any other sort of crisis. Because we're an open community, and I'm going to shift gears and sort of possible crises that we could foresee. We are an open community, and that means that, you know, anybody who's interested in plant science can come and sign up. Now, we are plant scientists, and there's some controversial subject matter, GMO, that we talk about, okay? And there are members in our community who are online and using social channels, and who are part of the Plante community, who have been targeted. So that would be one type of crisis that we, you know, we are very on top of. We are very, again, with our fellows and with a whole team of people who are part of this community, we are paying attention to what is happening here. But that is the only other thing that we could, at this point, we're prepared for.
Yeah, and hopefully, like, that sort of scenario can be handled with very kind of tight policies and governance around, you know, how members treat one another, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
If your rules of engagement are pretty clear, then you're able to moderate that stuff. You can have extreme examples, but in most cases, members will be civil and respect the rules of engagement.
Right. Yeah, I have not run into a situation, even on our social channels yet, where it's gotten out of control. So, and you know, again, you know, when we have conversations internally, we over time, as we gain momentum, we will rely heavily on the community itself to self-police. And that's what you want. You want, you know, the engaged group of individuals paying attention. If something's happening, they're going to let us know. Or if they feel that something is not, you know, that something's going on that shouldn't be, that they're going to tell us, or they're going to handle it in a respectful way.
I think that makes total sense. We talk a lot about modeling sort of the behavior you want to see in your community with the way you interact with the community. And it sounds like you guys are doing a really great job of that. I want to change gears a little bit, but still in the vein of enhancing your member experiences, we're always looking for new programming ideas. Is there a program you can share that you use and how it makes a difference in improving the member experience?
There's so many things going on right now. So one of the things, and I'm going to talk about a few different things that we're doing. We are creating several what we're calling content products that are Plante content products. This is the first thing we're doing. So I already mentioned the seminar series. So we have a Plante seminar series. Most of it's geared towards early career scientists, but we have some big names now starting to do these webinars with us. And these are all available on demand. So you can attend them live or on demand in the Breezeo platform. And one of the things we're doing is we are inviting the speakers to join us live. So everybody shows up on a page live. You could see who else is on that page. And there's a Q&A, and you can do time-stamped questions or comments and answers in the Breezeo platform. So that's one thing we're working on. We also have a podcast series called The Taproot, which has been very, very popular. And one of the things we're doing is we're taking those similar approach, taking those conversations, and the participants in the podcast will be available at a certain time to answer questions live. And some of them stick around so that they, after the fact, the people come on and ask questions or want to have a conversation with the person who was interviewed, and they stay in Plante and are able to answer questions, you know, whenever they're asked. The other thing that we're working on with the Plante Fellows is this weekly roundup of plant science research that is now becoming a subscription product, but it's also in the community. So people are suggesting types of research and topics to be shared and things like that in the community. So while we're with the Plante Fellows curating and filtering and vetting, you know, kind of your weekly what you should be reading, we are also starting to work with the community to crowdsource that as well. And the other kind of programmatic things we're doing, I mentioned already in the Fellows program in and of itself, and then also what we're calling this Scholars program, which is this class that is leveraging the platform with all of its activities and using the content then to populate the platform and engage people in other ways. So the other thing we're doing is we are creating a network, which is basically a group in Breezeo, where people who are part of a plant biology graduate program from any school anywhere can post about their program and have live Q&As about the program. So when students, prospective students, are interested in looking at different programs that they may want to apply to, they can come here and they can actually have direct interaction with the people from those programs or other students connected to those programs as well. Those are just a few of the things that we're doing.
You must be incredibly busy.
Yeah, we have a small but mighty team. We're actually a very small organization. We only have 21 employees here. And again, we have a very small team. We do have a dedicated community manager. She wears a cape. And she's also a AAAS community fellow. They have a community manager fellowship program, right? And she's part of that program as well. But we do
Yeah,
it's really cool. So what we do have a small team of people here with different skills. And again, I think part of what we do that makes it sort of magical is that we are always making connections with the community. And then what I mean by that is when we are in meetings, or when we're visiting, or when we are, you know, we could be having a meeting about our annual, you know, our annual meeting or our journal publications or another topic. Whenever we are out in the community and exposed to plant scientists, we're always trying to make those connections between what they're doing or what they're trying to do and what could possibly be done on the platform. So we're always thinking and we're always trying to innovate on new ways and new things we can implement on the platform based on what we're hearing. And this is ongoing all the time. And that's what I love about this small team.
So I'm going to be honest, you made my job very easy. You said that your community manager wears a cape, and my number one favorite podcast question is, what is your community superpower? Yeah, we talk a lot about how community managers have to be kind of superheroes. So,
yeah, our community superpower, I think one is what I just referred to as this small but mighty dedicated team. But I think also that we have these live and vibrant activities going on. And when I say live, I mean live. You can go, there's a magic happening now button on Breezio there where you could actually see who's on what page. And when you go to that page, you see people and you see them moving around and you really feel like, oh, wow, look, there's other people here, and you could bump into them and you can talk to them. And I love that about this platform. So you can really literally make it come alive. Those are superpowers to me, because I feel like other platforms and other experience, other platforms don't offer the same type of experience. I feel like I go to other platforms and I have, you know, I have some groups and I have some discussions and I have some content. But what we were really after was an environment that made that experience come alive and made it meaningful, made it valuable, but made me feel like, wow, it's vibrant and there's other people here and I can talk to them right now if I want to. So I really feel like our community superpower, the fact that the community members, there's a small group, because we're just getting started, of very motivated community members who are there, and they're there every day and you can see them online and you can see them posting and they're talking and connecting. I think it's our small group of really motivated and inspiring community members. I think that's our super.
Sounds like you've got a great team.
Yeah.
So let's wrap it up with one last question about advice. And this is for any community builder out there, something that you kind of look to or lean on, or, you know, something that you learned in your many years as a community and digital strategist that you'd like to pass along.
Well, the first thing I always say is to not get caught up in the technology. Let, you know, it's important, it's an enabler, but move that aside. I think too often we get caught up in, oh, what platform is going to do the best thing for me? Oh, you know, and we forget that really the heavy lift is in the listening and the continuous outreach and making connections and finding the champions and working with the champions and, you know, making their ideas come to life in your community and lifting up the community and really making sure that is all of that is face forward. Because in the end, if you're not doing that, it doesn't really matter strategically what you're trying to do, because if they're not feeling that they're getting a really valuable experience, they're not going to come back. So I would say listening is huge. Join in, you know, be joined at the hip with your community members. Make them part of how you evolve. Make them feel like they're part of driving the overall direction. And then, you know, continuously finding new people to bring into the conversation and find those champions.
That's great advice, Susan. Thank you so much for joining us today. We had a lot of fun talking with you, and can't wait to see what you do next.
All right. Thank you. This has been great.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.